All right, guys, big episode of the Northeast Podcast. Wolves in for a new era of Vikings football, and Twins are hot. Let's go. And here we go, Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim. How's it going?
You know how I am.
I am feeling a false sense of security.
Okay.
Because it's like sports are going too well right now.
I'm feeling a false sense of accomplishment for winning one series. I mean, I'm celebrating like we got the championship.
I would just say that sports are going too well, and that usually has a way of evening out.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe it's like a new era.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's likely. I'm just happy to be here, my friend.
All right. Well, we are in a new era of the Northeast Podcast, which is the positive era.
Okay. Whoa. This could get real boring quick.
Or it could get real. It could be canceled real soon.
Yeah. Right.
But because of that, we need you guys to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Northeast Podcast and subscribe anywhere that you guys get your favorite podcast from, and get the Northeast Podcast directly to your phone or your device each and every week for free.
What a pro.
Yes. All right. What are we drinking here, Jim? I'm having Blackstack Slopes, a French-style Pilsner. It's really good.
Yeah. I like those like weird Pilsners because they're never that weird.
No.
They're just like a little bit different, a little bit funky. I'm doing Day of Another Dream, that West Coast IPA from Modest that we like.
It's a great beer.
Love it.
Okay, here we go. We are going to... There's a lot of good places to start, but we're going to start with the NFL Draft.
Okay.
The Minnesota Vikings had a... I don't know. It was a really strange draft. It was like we made a lot of noise early, then we completely sat out day two.
Yeah.
And then like shored a few things up on day three. So the big news was the Vikings. Obviously, everyone in the league, the worst kept secret, knew that the Vikings were going to trade up for their quarterback of the future. And they did.
Yeah.
But not as far as everyone thought.
Not as far as you had thought. And I know that you were stressing.
Yeah.
Because the trades weren't coming in. The QBs were coming off the board.
Yeah. I if you would have told me four quarterbacks were off the board before we drafted, I would have said we were totally screwed.
Yeah. So we got the fifth quarterback drafted.
Yes.
Shit.
Well, which was just crazy. This was so hectic.
Only like two of those guys are going to end up being really good.
Yeah.
So let's hope we got one. And it doesn't, you know, there's some correlation, right, between the higher pick and the better, but... Not guaranteed.
Yeah.
None of it's guaranteed.
So, you know, we had spoke a lot last week about Drake May. I really thought we were going to trade it for Drake May. It sounds like we offered three firsts, a second, and a third to go up and get him. And the Patriots said no. They said, if they want him so bad, why wouldn't we want him so bad? It's going to go poorly. And then...
Yeah, he's ruined, huh?
The Vikings tried to stand... So I think what happened here is I heard that there was like a gentleman's agreement in place between the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders.
Okay.
And that they had all kind of planned to take their quarterback, so none of them had to trade up and compete with each other. But the Falcons ruined that by drafting...
One of those guys, I suppose.
And so...
Which was insane.
Yeah, so the plan was that the Vikings were going to stay at 11 and take J.J. McCarthy. The Broncos were going to stay at 12 and take Bo Nix. And the Raiders were going to stay at 13 and take Michael Penix.
But the Broncos traded up first?
No, just the Falcons drafted Michael Penix at number 8.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that blew up that plan. So then everyone was like, well... Who's going to trade up?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Vikings just said, screw it. We're going to move up to 10. They gave up a couple mid-round picks, and they got the guy, J.J. McCarthy. I think this is really exciting.
Yeah. He's a top QB.
He's
won everything he's ever done.
The guy was a state champion as a sophomore in high school. He lost the state championship his junior year of high school. Then it was the COVID year, so he transferred to IMG Academy and won the national title his senior year.
Okay.
So he lost one game in high school, and it was the state championship game. He won a state title, and he won a national title.
Crazy.
He went to Michigan. He started as a sophomore, and he lost in the college football playoff. And then the next year, last year, he started and went undefeated and won the national championship.
All right, so he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't have a good arm. All he does is hand off for running for runs. Like, what do you take? What's your take on that?
So
that's what I keep.
I think it's such a lazy take because the thing is that what you want is you want guys who understand how the game is played in pro football, which is totally different than college.
Mm-hmm.
In college, they can spread you out with a bunch of speed, and they know the defenses aren't as good, and they can run these routes that are layered like every 10 yards, and the quarterback can just throw these, you know.
They just like look up in one direction, how hard do they have to throw it, essentially?
Yeah, like, what? Oh, I'm getting cover two here, that means I throw this out route. Oh, I'm getting cover three, that means I throw this hitch.
Okay.
And a lot of the game is coached by the coaches who can talk to them and look. They look over to them. J.J. McCarthy was playing in a pro-style offense that was huddling up, that was playing under center for a former pro quarterback and former successful professional coach,
right,
who is now again a professional coach.
Harbaugh, right?
Yep. So to me, it's just like this guy might not have been asked to play in a college spread offense and throw for 550 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would have gone to Baylor, he could have done that.
They would have asked him to do that. But he did what they asked to win.
But he probably would be less prepared to be a professional quarterback doing that.
Okay.
And so I think that is something that probably really bothered a lot of like people on social media and a lot of draft experts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that was something that bothered the pro teams very much. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think part of me thinks he's going to sit the whole season. Part of me thinks he starts week one.
Oh,
I really don't know. And I've heard,
I suppose that, you know, they won't even know until they get everybody to camp. And they're like, damn, this kid's already got, you know, doing better in some ways than Darnold. I don't know what those ways would be.
Unless you are getting bad reports.
Yeah, about Darnold.
No, unless you're getting bad reports about JJ.
Yeah.
I don't think we should worry if he doesn't play at
all. Yeah. Oh, right. No,
unless they're like, this kid has a long ways to go. Like, if we're hearing that kind of stuff, we should be really worried. But as long as you're not.
Fraser, like, no, I see him play every day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so he sucks. Damn.
So we also then traded up, gave up a lot to trade up to get Dallas Turner at 17.
Okay.
Big edge rusher from Alabama.
One of the, like, is it one of the first defensive players taken? Maybe the third defensive player taken.
He is the current favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Sweet.
So I think he's pretty pro ready. I think
probably going to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that position now in the NFL as like your pass rushers, I think that I don't think starting or playing every play. I think like all of these teams are trying to do what the Eagles have done, which is load up on that position and then rotate those guys.
So just everybody's fresh.
Waves of those guys coming. So we did lose Danielle Hunter. We did lose Wanham. We did lose Davenport. We did lose a lot of those guys. But we still have, you know, Dallas Turner, this rookie first round pick guy. We have Jonathan Greenard, who is our big free agent signing, almost $20 million a year. You have Andrew Van Ginkle, one of our big free agent signings.
Mm-hmm.
You have Patrick Jones, who played for us last year, had some sacks. And then we brought in even more guys as undrafted free agents.
Just to compete.
So
cool.
He'll play a lot, but it's like they're going to rotate that position really heavily.
Okay. I like that.
And then they sat out day two, took a little victory lap. A lot of people loved their first round of the draft. We didn't have to give up multiple firsts to get our quarterback. We didn't have to give up a first next year. So I think that was a huge win. We drafted Kyrie Jackson, a big, tall, old cornerback from Oregon, who played at a junior college, played at Alabama, played at Oregon. I don't know. This dude did not. It didn't sit right with me, like, any of his interviews.
Why? What was he doing?
So, like, when he got drafted...
How does it feel here, and how do you feel about being a new member of the Vikings?
It was, like, worse. It was, like, it was almost as bad as it gets to me.
Well, what about his answers?
Yeah, when he got drafted, they called him, and he was at the mall shopping. And then he gave, like,
kind of that MIT money.
They asked him about, like, why he kind of, like, took this weird path of, like, being at Alabama. I think he got kicked out of Alabama.
Nice.
And then he was, like, at a JUCO, and then he was like, yeah, I was working at a grocery store, and I wasn't really thinking about football anymore. And I was just thinking, like, this might just be my career working at this grocery store. And I was like, what? Like,
it's like, this dude don't burn the bridge at the grocery store, buddy. That's all I'm saying. Like, keep good ties.
He's almost 25 years old, but he's like a big, tall, like 6'3", 6'4".
3-4 kids?
I don't know. Corner who, big time size, big time press man guy, physical. I think that this was just someone that they think can step in and play quickly.
Okay.
I think they know that they can't just solve this with like, we'll just get a star player. So,
okay. So
there's
that
guy.
I
think he'll play pretty early. And then a couple other pieces. They got Walter Rouse, who was a big tackle that fell multiple rounds in the draft. He seems like a really good dude. Big, huge, athletic guy who will probably be our swing tackle. So, like, if we play six offensive linemen, he'll probably be that guy this year.
Okay.
And then the other interesting pick, one that I was really excited about, Will Reichard, the kicker from Alabama.
All right.
I really
want. Sounds like a top kicker. I don't. Alabama.
He was a 5-year starter at Alabama, and he's the all-time leading scorer in NCAA football.
Oh.
And okay. He.
So he had a long career there, obviously.
Long career. I'm really excited.
Do we need
about
a
this.
New kicker?
Yeah.
Okay. So who did we have last year?
We had Joseph, who signed with the Packers.
Oh.
And we brought in some guy named like Romo, something Romo.
Not Tony,
Tony, but some guy, Romo, and he played in like the XFL.
Wow, I didn't know that we needed somebody. So this guy's going to start.
He most likely, unless he just stinks and this Romo dude like tears it up in camp. He'll probably be our guy.
All right.
First kicker taken in the draft.
Yeah, that's classic. That's what I actually do in my fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
Grab a kicker. It's so important.
Yeah.
You know.
Overall, I think this is exciting. A new age in Vikings football. The first time we've ever taken a quarterback in the top 10.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's big.
And,
I hope he's fucking good.
I hope he's good, but I would rather that he turned out poorly and it didn't work out than we re-signed Kirk Cousins and just kept doing the same thing.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about Atlanta. Like, what was the thought there and why does nobody understand it? Is it just that dumb?
I think it was really stupid.
So they grabbed Penix.
Yeah, who's already about to be 24.
Yeah, so he's already older, and he maybe wouldn't start for 4 years, but doesn't that go through an entire rookie contract? And they'd have to re-sign him without ever starting?
I think that, here's the thing, he got a 4-year deal, but it's really a 2-year deal.
Okay.
So he has like $100 million in guarantees, and I believe $90 million of that is in the first 2 years.
Mm.
So he's pretty much like fully guaranteed to make $100 million in the first 2 years.
Okay.
And then after that, he's only guaranteed 10 of the $80 million that they're going to
own. So in other words, they could cut him loose and he'll get his 10.
Okay. Yeah, they'll pay him $10 million, whatever. But their thought, I think, is if it's going really well with Kirk, he's under contract, we'll just keep rolling with Kirk.
Yeah.
But if not, Penix will be ready to start for us in 2 years, after 2 years.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought it was really stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you say it like that, it makes more sense.
I kind of get it, but it's just like.
And they're probably thinking like Kirk is good enough that we're not going to get this high a draft pick next year.
I think they thought that. But like, to me, my thought is just like, you bring in Kirk for big money. You think you're like a contender. Why wouldn't you bring in a piece that could help you like get
win
close
now
to that and like be a better team? Like, if I was a fan of the Falcons, I would have been.
They seemed upset.
Horribly upset. I would have been so upset. Yeah. And I, honestly, if I was Kirk, I mean, you know, Kirk always chasing money. So
he's the best businessman in football. That's probably what his legacy is going to be if he doesn't win a title. They're just gonna be like, dude, remember when this dude fleeced like a million teams and got so much money?
But I guess like if I was Kirk, I would be really frustrated too, because I'd be like, why aren't we going for it here? And then also, Kirk coming off an injury. Someone put it right. They said they replaced their old injured quarterback with a young injured or with an old injured prospect.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like, I just don't really understand it. So in the end, we end up with JJ, and I think he's going to be a really good fit here.
Is he short?
No.
Okay. He's
big. Like 6'2".
Oh, okay. Nice.
He's probably like 6'2", 200.
Maybe that suit just made him look short.
He's a little like skinny, I think, for a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
They're going to have to put on some weight on him. But again, he just turned 21 like 3 months ago. Like,
yeah.
He's young. He is the youngest quarterback in the whole draft.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good thing. And at this point, you just need to be in full on, we're going to try until we find our guy.
Yep.
If we have to draft another quarterback in 2 years, so be it. But like, let's give it a shot. I do think that JJ is going to be pretty good. I think, you know, obviously these guys are like politicians or CEOs, you know, like they're like trained in saying the right thing.
Yeah.
But I like believed him. Did you listen to his phone interview at all?
Mm-mm.
So in his phone interview, you know, Kwesi's like pretty cheesy. He's like, one love, right? Like, cause they both like Bob Marley.
Oh no. But
he gets on with KOC and he's like, KOC's like, hey, you know, I'm sorry we made you wait a little longer than you thought, but it's all like in the name of like building a team around you that's going to be really good. And he was like who, that's fine. Like, I would have waited all night. I would have waited all 3 days for you guys or something like that. Like, I do think he really wanted to land in Minnesota.
He had some good quotes, right? Like you said, I know he's well trained in this, but he, I mean, for him to be like, hey, every QB in the draft wanted to come to Minnesota. Yeah. And that makes sense, actually. It doesn't seem like just fan service.
I think that KOC is one of the best coaches in football. And I, like last year when people were like, KOC, fire KOC, blah, 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 when we were like playing backup quarterbacks every game, that was absurd. He's a fantastic coach, and he is the perfect guy to take a young quarterback and like mold them into something really good. So
I think it has more to do with KOC than which of the guys we selected.
I think, it has way more to do with KOC than it does JJ McCarthy.
So maybe now JJ has a better chance to be, you know, an impactful quarterback sooner than May does, right? At a fucked up organization with nobody to throw to.
At this point,
no pass protection.
I would bet big money that JJ McCarthy will now have a better career than Drake May.
Crazy.
I feel confident in saying that.
Yeah.
Where I think, like, if Drake May would have came to the Vikings, I think he would have been a superstar. But I think going to New England, I'm not saying he can't be successful, but it's going to be a much tougher road for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you know, the name I've been throwing around a lot has been Dak Prescott for JJ McCarthy.
Okay.
But I really think he's going to look like Brock Purdy.
All right. I mean, that's...
I mean, Brock Purdy
is fine.
He was really good this year.
Yeah. But I think it wasn't the whole thing. It was he's like not, you know, not a star in any way, just kind of a game manager, and that's okay.
Let's see. Let's see what his stats were this year. Brock Purdy.
Barack? You're giving him a little extra syllable he doesn't deserve.
So he's a little shorter than JJ. And he's 3 years older at this point. He had quite the season. This is good podcasting.
Yeah,
right here.
I mean, I'm just gonna be patient.
Okay, he completed almost 70% of his passes. He threw for almost 4,300 yards. He averaged 9.6 per pass. He had 31 touchdowns, which I think was third in the NFL, and he had 11 interceptions.
Okay.
So he was...
That's good.
He was damn good.
That's good. And that's probably, the factor is where he's at.
The kind of thing with Brock Purdy is everybody, including myself, is like, if Brock Purdy played on a different team, he wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's what everyone is going to be saying about JJ McCarthy.
And that shouldn't be a problem. We shouldn't be upset with that at all, because why does it matter for us as the fans?
And remember, they lost in overtime and probably should have won the Super Bowl in overtime with Brock Purdy. So I do think that he is never going to be the Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback who's just like transcends like every other aspect of the game because you have him. But I do think he could be the coached into being a star quarterback kind of guy.
All right. Well, that's what we'll hope for.
That is it. All right, let's move on to the Minnesota Timberwolves sweeping the Phoenix Suns. I said
that's the sound of the
two
brooms.
Weeks ago, I said that we were going to lose this series.
You did.
We were going to lose this series. And boy,
you said
boy,
you'd lose it in... I think you said that we'd get gentlemen swept.
No, I said we'd lose in six.
Six, okay.
I literally was feeling so negative.
I know.
And then I watched... I'm not going to say they played their four best games, but I'm going to say they played their three best games and then did enough in the last one.
And then Ant showed up for everybody.
Of maybe the entire franchise history.
Sure.
I think they were dominant in these games. They broke the... I started at halftime of game three saying the series is over. And, you know, people were like, whoa, 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 don't jinx it. Don't get ahead of yourself. And I was like, no, it's over. Yeah. Like, this is done. Like, their will is broken. The Wolves have figured out everything that they have to do to win this.
Yep.
And there was nothing the Suns could do. They literally got, you know, 80 points or over 80 points from Durant and Booker in game four.
Yeah.
Wasn't enough. And lost by six.
Yeah. I mean,
it didn't matter what they did.
Yeah.
We dominated the boards so much. I mean, completely blew them out in rebounding, completely controlled the paint. And I think for three of the games, played about as good a defense as you can play in the NBA.
We made what's supposed to be one of the best offenses in the league look flustered the entire time.
And, so flustered.
And they have these skill players in at least, it's supposed to be Beal, Booker, and KD. Turns out it's just Booker and KD.
Yeah.
But those guys are going to get their points. You can't guard them, you know, conventionally, because they both can just, well, Booker's method is just literally draw fouls like constantly, which is so frustrating. But KD is fun to watch, man. I mean, he's in the mid range. He steps back and his long, freaky little fucking arms and fingers go up and flick it in. And it's like, well, nobody can guard that. So
he's lost some of his athleticism, but he is so fucking crafty.
Yeah.
Still, like, he just uses his long limbs to create space. He's so smooth with everything.
His jab steps like 14 feet and then he pulls back, and all of a sudden the defender's so far away.
I thought that this was as much of a beating as a team could take. And this ended their big three.
I mean, it ended, I think it kind of ended people talking about big three as a good thing.
Yeah.
Because essentially what you say, when you have big three, it's like, that's all that matters. And you don't look at the bench. You don't look past that. It's not enough. It's not enough. And, you know, we've seen that now with KD's last team, right? The Nets, where they assembled Harden and Kyrie and KD, and they fucking stunk. And they, you know. But the Suns specifically, they're fucked. Like, if I was a Suns fan, I would be just devastated right now, because
I think that if I were the Suns, who have like no control over the draft until like 2031.
Yeah, they have no first or second round picks, maybe one.
No, they still have first, because you can't trade. You can only
trade that year's. Yeah.
You can only trade every other year. Mm-hmm. So they have every other year's first, but they can't trade a first or a second round pick until 2031.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've already traded every pick that is tradable to them.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they could trade is if they acquired new picks and then traded those.
Right, which they could do. I mean, because they have KD, and he's leaving.
KD and Booker.
Yeah.
I'm not even messing around.
I know.
I think they're in so much trouble. I think I would go full on, like, can I get five firsts for Booker?
Yeah.
And like a good young player. Like, can I get
I wouldn't give up quite that much. I mean, he is really good.
Booker is young and under contract for like 4 more years.
Yeah.
Someone would give up a haul for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. We personally don't have the picks to go get him, but.
But no, like, I just think, like, if I'm them, I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
It's not going to be better next year.
No, they can't bring this team back.
It's not going to be better.
They can't bring this
team
back.
This team is broken. And
they got Beal under the worst contract in the league for 4 years.
I think he's three years after this for $160 million.
My God.
Oh.
And he was abysmal, especially in this last game.
Just horrible.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, he's a guy that, they get these guys that, like, KD can play defense, but Booker doesn't really know how to do that. He's not great. And Beal is supposedly like this lockdown defender, but not in this series. I didn't see that at all.
So we had so much size compared to them, and we had so much depth compared to them. And I don't even think our depth played very well. I thought in this series, I thought Na was up and down.
Yep.
He had a couple massive games and then a couple games.
He had some big steals and some clutch stuff that, like, you were glad he was out there.
Yeah, I like Na a lot, but I think he was kind of up and down in the series. I thought Naz Reid was terrible. I think he's really suffered this postseason so far. They have to get him going.
Yeah.
They have to get him going in the next round.
I believe it was your brother that said he's going to put up a sign in his neighborhood, honk if you love playoff Naz Reid. And we decided that's because he likes a nice, quiet neighborhood. He doesn't want a lot of disturbances.
Playoff Naz, we need him to show up. Like,
and he might, but he didn't. He really didn't in these games.
I thought he struggled in these games. I think it feels kind of like he is trying to figure out what his role is now that Towns is fully back in the mix.
Yeah.
And like,
because his role changed quite a bit, and he really stepped into it. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, like, how long, you know, could he be sixth man of the year again, or is it sort of like maybe he needs to go to a team where he can start?
I kind of want to see Nas dribble more. I think like where his big advantage is he is really fast off the dribble, and he's athletic enough to get to the rim.
And he's still huge.
I think that what's happened here is like he's a good three-point shooter, but the last couple weeks he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean he's not a good three-point shooter and that he shouldn't shoot any of them. But a big part of his game is hitting these open threes, and he's really struggled to do that.
Yeah,
I think he's got to get to the rim here the next couple games as he works to get that three-point game back.
That could help.
And then if we can get him cooking a little bit more on that second unit, I think we're in a much better spot to take down Denver.
So should we officially lay the Suns to rest?
Yeah, they're dead.
They're dead.
For good.
We won. I forgive anybody, including you, Eric, mm-hmm. that doubted them, because even me doubting them was saying they'd win in seven. That's what I said. That's as much as being like, they'll win, but not confident. So
this was an absolute murder.
Minnesota fans in general, across all the sports, have been burned so many times. We have PTSD. So I don't blame anybody that said, damn, I can't believe our season's over now. Like, what a way to go out, you know. I'll forgive all that, even if the Wolves franchise hasn't.
So a couple other things. One, we've been really hard on Jaden McDaniels all season.
Yeah, because we want him to improve. But
wow,
he showed up in this game three
series.
Was crazy. Yeah, 25 points, which doesn't seem like a lot, but
that was
he was the highest
two.
Scoring. Yeah, oh, that was game two.
Game two, yeah, at home.
Yeah. He was the highest scoring player on the team, and you know, just
I thought he was so freaking good in this series, both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So good defensively, taking Booker and Durant at all times, pretty much, and scoring, shooting the ball well, and being aggressive off the dribble. Like, so many times he took the ball to the hoop. They tried to press out or they tried to double ant. The ball would get skipped to him.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no help in the lane, and he would beat his man to the rim. I thought he was awesome.
Really efficient scoring. Like, he didn't force it, right? So it's like, hey, wait, I have the best chance to score right now, and then he just would, which is the best.
And then I think also you got the best version of Towns in this last game. 28 points, bunch
figuring
of rebounds.
Figuring it out, yep.
He did everything he needed to in that game, which was jumpstart the scoring when it's not running through Ant.
Yep.
Hitting big threes. I mean, he is one of the great big men shooters in NBA history. For every flaw in his game, that is an absolute legendary trait.
I think
he was
number seven in percentage all year.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Especially for a 7-footer, 7'4", 7'2", whatever he is.
Incredible shooter. And like just him keeping us in the game with some of that shooting and this, and then being physical enough to get himself to the rim and score against smaller guys.
Calm down a little bit on the flopping and the fouls.
Yeah.
Like, I think that what I saw out of this last game especially was a crazy amount of calm leadership, which I was surprised about coming from him.
Yeah.
Because when he's been the number one guy in these past series, I think he's been incredibly stressed. And he's playing so hard that he's not in control.
Yep.
And he's making really dumb panic decisions.
Yep.
And costing us the game. And here, when we started to tailspin a little bit, he was the calm one telling everybody, hey, you got this, chill out. You know, and then he's making like a clutch three and just getting everybody back on track. So I think that in the leadership rankings, I think Towns actually has been setting the tone for the team. And I think he's taking that from Gobert's play. Gobert just like leads by example, I feel like, more, right?
Yeah.
So Gobert's like the same player every time, plays really hard, plays consistent, plays the same way. And I think that Towns jumped on that and really like showed some calm confidence. It helped a lot.
Yeah, for sure. No, I thought that was his best game. Like, if you drew up a blueprint of like what it looks like to get to the finals, it's Towns playing that game.
Yes.
Where he's shooting the ball really well. He's stretching the defense. He's rebounding the ball well.
Yeah.
And he's not getting in foul trouble. And Ant even said that after the game. They said, what was the difference in this game? And he said,
fucking fouling. Yeah. He's telling him, dude. That's great. And there's some of the leadership coming through from Ant, of course. Like, did you see when Ant kind of pulled everybody up in the... Yeah. Like early fourth, I think he was just telling everybody, let's end this. Let's go. Like, we can do it. Let's go right now.
So here's my take. I have been on the record saying multiple times that I would trade Ant for Wemby. Mm-hmm. I've said that many times. And I want to just revise that statement just a tiny bit here.
Okay. Okay.
So how I want to revise this is I wouldn't trade Ant for Wemby anymore. But that's not because I don't think Wemby is better. I just think Ant is worth more to a franchise than Wemby will be.
All right. Well, that's fine. Factor that in by all means.
Wemby is the most talented youngster on Earth, and maybe the most he's pushing LeBron for probably like
potential,
just like
ceiling.
He just showed up and you're like, oh, he's already just one of the best players in the league. Yeah. He's a teenager. He would be the first pick in a redraft of the whole league. Ant would be the second pick now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty new.
Yeah.
I think Ant would have been the fifth pick 2 weeks ago, and now I think he would be the second pick.
People would have been talking about, you know, Doncic, and they would have talking about Shea, and they still are, but after Ant now. But I mean, just for age and, you know, their peak is sort of reached, I think, especially with Shai. I mean, I don't think he can play any better than he is.
Yeah, I think like Ant being 22 is just insane.
Yeah.
He's 22 years old. He's not the second best player in the league. He's probably closer to 10 than he is to 1 right now. But his ceiling is the second highest on Earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he will win. I'm going to go with at least 2 MVPs.
Here with the Wolves or in his career?
In his career. I would assume at least one of those.
I think that he will win one of those in the next 2 years, though.
I think he'll probably win one when he's like 25, 26 years old. I think that's kind of like a sweet spot for understanding the game and still having the freakish athleticism.
Yeah.
I think that this team, if all goes well, this team will be able to contend while rotating out guys like Gobert and Connolly and maybe Towns and whoever. Mm-hmm. And then reloading with new pieces that want to come play
right
with Anthony Edwards.
Which is great. And I think that's a testament to the coaching too, right? And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, we know that Finch
Connolly
is fine,
in
by the way.
Office.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, the other Connolly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Connolly.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, Finch, in one of the weirdest things, which, by the way, fuck Booker for many, many things, but he definitely pushed Conley right into Finch.
So does he need to have surgery?
I don't know.
Because they said
he probably
tore his,
he might.
He tore his patellar tendon.
Yeah, it sounds
which
bad.
Which is a bad injury.
Yeah. But, you know, people are like, oh, this bodes poorly. Dude, he'll be fine. He'll just be, give him some perks. Give him a fucking crutch. He'll be on the sidelines.
He's
going to
be on a scooter, I bet.
Yeah. Hell
he's gonna
yeah.
be on one of those little scooters, like where your one leg is on the pad, you know?
Oh, you think?
He's gonna be on one of
those. I think give him the motorized.
This is
let him sit this out.
This is a bad.
He clearly needs like a plastic plexiglass shield too. So get
I
him
can't believe
we don't want another injury,
how
so get him the protection.
A patellar.
He gets knocked over and he's grabbing his knee.
Patellar tendon injury is a bad. This isn't a ligament in your knee. This is
it's
a
like
big
what connects
tendon,
the
yeah,
oh
the lower leg and the upper leg. This is
he
like,
almost Teddy Bridgewatered out there.
That's what Teddy Bridgewater did.
Oh
it just,
shit!
This is
I was kidding.
Teddy's was just way, way, way more violent on the inside of his leg than
okay.
this. But it's like the same thing. The Vikings had this guy Greg Childs, I think his name was, who was a rookie, and he famously on the last play of training camp right before the season started, he was a wide receiver rookie. And he caught a pass in the back of the end zone where he dove and he landed on both knees and he blew his patellar tendon in both knees and he never played again.
Oh my God.
So it's a really bad injury. Was a shame.
Yeah.
I felt for
we
Finch.
We might have won the title that year.
I felt for Finch because it's one of the proudest moments, you know, it's probably a top 5 moment in Timberwolves history.
Yeah.
And the dude is horribly
in
injured
the
in the back. But I will say the post the Timberwolves did today was hilarious.
Which
unintentionally hilarious.
Which one? Where he's hugging the
Yeah,
the
where
players?
He's like hugging the players and like,
yeah.
It was like for coach and he's like hugging. It looks like someone or him is dead. It was like unintentionally funny.
Now that I picture it like that, yeah.
It was like really, really, really serious
it was,
post.
Yeah,
and like to
like,
me
dude,
it was pretty
He just needs his mind. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, if you would have given me the choice of any player having a serious injury, any Timberwolf having a serious injury, besides the other coaches, Finch would have been right? my top pick. Like,
can we pick Josh Minot? Otherwise, yeah.
It's like that's where we were at. So I think.
And now maybe it motivates them more. Let's do it for Finchy, you know?
Finch was great. He did finish third in the coach of the year, but still top
highest
three.
We've ever
highest
finished,
guy we've
it?
Ever had. Yeah. And, you know, I like after
and what
the
else
game,
did Gobert win Defensive Player of the Year?
I don't think it's been announced.
Yeah,
yet.
Why is that? Why are they trickling
doing
these
them
out?
Like a little.
I hate that.
I think they should do it like the NFL does,
like an awards night.
An awards night, like
yeah.
on Super Bowl or weekend or whatever.
After the yeah right between
like, that's fun or the
before the finals start or
weekend.
Something.
Yeah, like give us an awards night. That's way better. I don't need this, like, dropping on a Tuesday news.
I'm like, okay, so Naz Reid won Sixth Man of the Year. Fuck yeah. And mostly I was happy for myself, because what a prediction.
Yeah, you called
what
that.
A prediction.
You called Naz winning Sixth
if
Man
only,
of the Year.
If only I put some money down when I made these
this
calls.
This was such, that was, I don't know that you've ever had a better bet.
Yeah, that
I'm
was.
I'm not even kidding. He when you said that at the beginning of the year, he
you
wasn't
looked it
on
up.
The list.
Yeah, you.
Then you didn't talk about it for a while, and you brought it up again in like December, and I was like, yeah, actually, I don't think he's gonna win it. He's like 14th on the list.
And then you looked though.
And then I looked again like 2 months ago, and he was like 6th. Yeah. And then we looked again, and he was 3rd, and then
yeah,
he won it,
dude. Yes, and he deserves it, which is fantastic. But yeah, I want to know the rest of them.
I would just say that I feel confident in this team.
Okay.
Like my thought after the game was bring on Denver.
So let's talk about Denver because mm-hmm. we've spent a lot of time and, you know, we have all
they have the
things
best player
too,
in the world.
They do. And one of the most consistent players of the world in the world. And that it doesn't really matter who's guarding him
no,
in a way.
It doesn't matter.
It's hard to shut him down.
He's going
to
get 30 plus any every playoff game the rest of the way.
Yeah.
His passing makes everyone else in the court better. They beat us in the point guard game for sure with Murray.
Yep.
Murray's a upgrade over anyone that we have.
Although
there.
Murray is a little bit hurt.
Yeah, he's a little banged up.
And hasn't like been crazy good against us historically, and especially this
yeah.
last year. We played them 4 times.
Will be interesting to see how they defend it. I'm going to guess they're going to put a lot of Nah and a lot of Ant on him,
mm-hmm.
would be my best guess.
You know, it's funny. Conley, actually, in the 4 games we played, Conley averaged 18 points and Murray only 17.2 in the 4 games we played. So, yes, he wins it just for all the X factor and the fact that he can blow up and he makes crazy clutch last-minute shots and all the things that Murray can do, but I don't know if Murray will be their secret weapon. I think it's going to be the fact that in the 4 games we played, Jokic averaged 33.3.
Yeah.
And the best we had was Ant with 26 points per game.
Ant's going to need to be over 30 to win this series.
Yep.
Towns is going to have a big series. And we're going to have to stay out of foul trouble with our bigs because Jokic just gets guys in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They let him play such bully ball
yeah.
where he gets the ball in the post on any of your bigs.
He's
and
8 feet from the basket.
He runs into you as hard as he can, like 4 times.
Yep.
And then when you push him back, you get a
Tweet.
Foul right away.
Yep.
And it's just kind of like the only thing you're allowed to do is.
And
just
he's so used to that that he like knows when the foul is going to come in. And so he plays it perfectly and turns and makes the basket. So he gets all these and one opportunities.
He's fantastic. Like if we weren't rivals with him right now and trying to beat him in the playoffs, I would say he's a joy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like...
He is, but a lot of people think he's kind of boring, and I don't. I like, his passing is so fun and crazy. It's like, he... I'll tell you this. Gobert could not handle a pass from Jokic.
No.
No.
I think that Jokic is like watching a robot that was built in Europe to play basketball and just knows how to do everything right and does everything by the percentages.
Yeah.
Right. And like always makes the right play.
Yep.
He's remarkable. So
yeah.
I think
he's the best player. So, you know, so what happens here? Does the best player win out or can a really well-balanced team of a bunch of guys and a rising superstar take them out in the second round? You know,
I mean, like,
this is a
head versus heart for me.
Yeah.
My heart is telling me the Wolves,
mm-hmm.
like they're so ready. They're hungry. This moment is made for them. But my head is telling me you're playing 4 games in Denver
mm-hmm.
in the altitude. One of the best home court advantages against the best player in the world. and the defending champs who have been there and done that.
Yep.
I would, if I had to bet my life, I would bet my life on Denver. But I think this series is a 7-game series. Okay. And I think if we get to 7, it's just like, can Ant, what's Ant's yeah. legend look like? You know, like I think that it's going to be like that. So
yeah.
If I had, you
can build a legend, but you can't build the legend, you know, in the second round. You got to get past that.
I don't think that there's any shame in losing a hard fought round here to Denver.
Right, right.
And I think that
we will, of course, look back at, you know, those last couple few games of the season where we went from, you know, one, I mean, it was so close and back and forth forever, but we were up, we ended up third, and now we have to play probably two series in a row against the best teams in the league that we have to play with, you know, without home advantage.
Yeah.
So that sucks. That's an uphill battle, but I mean, we have to feel great about this sweep. We have to feel great about the future, knowing that almost the entire team is coming back. And we have to feel great about the fact that the Wolves are going to beat the Nuggets in 6.
This is my, I like that. This is my take on it. This is going to be the series that we lose. And we look back on this series and how hard fought this series was and how close it was. And all the things we learned in the series when we win the title in 2 years.
I think
that's what it's going to be. Like,
that's fine.
Sometimes you've got to learn what each step is. Like, I think like maybe this year we lose this round in 7. It's like a great series, a classic. Next year we
lose.
And then
the Nuggets like skate to the title and you're like, yeah, we were definitely the toughest team they played.
Yep. And then the next year we like lose to the Celtics in the finals in like 6 or something. And like all of our, you know, Ants standing on the court watching them celebrate. You know, and then like the next year,
please don't do that.
And then the next,
that's what guys do that never win. I swear that's what they do. That's like what, who keeps doing that every time he fucking loses?
Diggs
keeps doing that. And where's his title? Ain't there yet.
But you know, I think, and then the next year we finally get it done and it's like, we've been there. We've been through all these wars. We're the veteran team now. So I don't know. I guess I'm really pleased with how they played in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get swept by Denver, but like, well, let's go give them hell. Like, I think if we can get it to 7, it's just like anything could happen. I don't see us beating them in less than that, but
I don't see us. Here's the thing. I don't see us winning either of the first 2 games. That's kind of what I'm really worried about.
That's the thing.
And I think we win the 2 here, and then it's like, so that's why you're kind of saying 7, which I get.
You've got to win one of those first 2 if you want to win the series.
Against my gut, it's more of a hope
that
we just split.
Did you know that 92% of teams who lose the first 2 games lose the series?
Yeah.
You got to win one of the first 2.
You have to
on the road.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, and you know, one of the cool things that Finch said, one of the coolest quotes I've ever heard, and this is to motivate the Timberwolves after we beat the Suns.
Yep.
He goes, the Suns didn't come here to win game 1. They came here to win 1 game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, chills, because that's just cool.
It's so good.
And he was exactly right. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to win game 1. We need to win 1 game there.
You got to win 1 game on the road, whether it's game 7 or anything. But I do think it's got to be, like, you got to get 1 or 2. And like, then you have your wiggle room at home.
Another team in Mountain Time, so it's going to be a little bit later games, but not the 9:30, hopefully. We can avoid that a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited. Yeah, so when are those going to start? Let's think about that.
Saturday, if Denver wins tonight in Game 5.
Which starts
Monday,
late tonight.
Then we start on Saturday. And if the Lakers win Game 5, we automatically start next Monday.
Okay, no matter what happens.
I'm really hoping the Lakers win Game 5 at least. Even if they lose in Game 6, giving us a little extra time to prepare and them a little less time to prepare is only good.
That's only good. And we can get healthier, although, we, you know, so far, so good. But, I'm on just cloud 9. I'm so happy with this team. I welcome all bandwagon fans. Don't be so negative, I guess, could be your lesson.
Yeah.
You know, it was scary and we were all feeling it, but you never know what's going to happen. We could sweep the Nuggets. The Nuggets could sweep us.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter. It's a good time.
It is. This has been fun. This is the most fun I've had since 2004. And in the end, I think it's a better team than that team.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, KG was more at the height of his powers and Ant is coming up. But yeah. I think Ant has a higher ceiling than KG. Oh.
Yeah, what did KG said this week? He tweeted at him and said, "Break all the records."
Break all my records. When he says break all the records, but what he meant is my records. Yeah. Although Towns has like so many of them, you know, most 3 points made.
I really want KG to get back in the mix here in Minnesota.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I just want him to like be around. Evolved. Yeah. Yeah. Like it sucks that he's like the only like Hall of Fame player that we've ever had. And he's never
retired his jersey.
We've never retired his jersey. He's never comes back.
I've been in the arena a few times. I went to game 1 and 2, which was really fun. And, you know, you look up at the one side and there's all these Lynx banners. And you look at the left side.
Ours are embarrassing.
There's only dead people.
There's Malik Sealy, who was like a bench player who died.
Which was sad.
Flip Saunders, who was a coach who died.
Who died.
And then there's a bunch of guys that are part of the Lakers franchise.
No, there wasn't those guys. It just is a Lakers thing. Like, hey.
No, but at least on the one side, there's like 14 names listed.
Oh, on the back side?
Yeah, of all
Nobody
guys.
Nobody sees the back side but you and your seats.
There's 14 names that were like all on there.
Okay. And the front is just like, hey, the Lakers won when we were here and we got rid of the team or whatever.
Yeah.
But really sad. So let's get something to hang up someday.
Yeah. So I agree. And I don't know. It's fun.
I can't wait to talk next week and you know, we'll see. Maybe they'll just be starting on Monday. That would be the best case scenario.
How dull are our jerseys that we wore yesterday?
I mean, I'm surprised that we won despite those jerseys.
But also, how bad were the Suns jerseys? Those were horrible.
You know, in general, I like the Suns branding too. I love how their court, like when it says Suns across it, for the people on the right side and the left side of the sideline, it looks the same.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like an ambigram. Yeah, that's like cool as shit.
Yeah, I like that.
That's very cool. But yeah, those were not it. Those jerseys. And no wonder they lost.
All right, a couple quick notes before we get out of here. The Twins. We haven't been talking about the Twins because they've been terrible. At one point, they were the worst hitting team average-wise through like 15 games or whatever it was since the like 0-2 Tigers, who lost the most games in the history of the American League.
Okay. So that's where
we've moved into the middle of the pack. I think we're 19th in batting average. We're like 9th in slugging. We've hit the ball well. We've won 7 games in a row. And we have a series coming up against the worst team in the league, the White Sox, who kind of started this whole stretch. And in even better news, we're getting Correa back, and then Duran, our big closer, is finally going to play. He hasn't played all year yet.
Has he ever? Did he play last year?
Yeah, he was our closer last year.
Duran?
Yeah, he throws like 102, like insane power. So
okay.
You have him coming back finally. You have Correa coming back. We're probably a couple weeks out from Royce Lewis coming back.
Oh, yes.
You know, this is what we do. This is what we do in Minnesota.
I can't believe that, like, you know, it's funny. I see, that's a nice score. I think we got 16 runs the other day. Yeah. Like, all right, but didn't they just suck horribly?
Yeah, they were just
And now
awful.
They're the hottest team
and
ever.
Now they're just really hot. This is what we do, though. And, like, we go on, we're a streaky squad every year.
Oh, yeah.
Rocco, it always feels like there's a part of the year where everyone's like, well, Rocco's going to be done.
Yeah.
And then he cooks off, like, 35 out of 50. And then
fucking rises from the dead.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we were, like, dead to rights. And now a couple games lost by the, what are they called? The
Guardians.
Well, what a bad name.
Pretty boring.
What a bad
Pretty
name. Boring. The Guardians. We're like 3 games behind them now.
Yeah.
What?
We
were toast.
Yeah.
Now we're right back in it because that's what baseball is in the AL Central.
Everybody plays 1 million games until everybody's record is right around 500.
Yeah. My one thing that I think sucks about baseball is that every year, no one can make any real moves at the trade deadline because, like, 26 of the teams are still in the hunt.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool. Those 4 teams can really,
really
sell some assets here. Every year we're like buyers, and then like some years we don't make the playoffs and we're buyers. Some years we win a playoff game.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know. I do think that this Twins team was really, really, really underperforming, and it makes me sick that we cut so much payroll. I mean, part of our reason for not talking more Twins has been
just out of spite.
I'm pissed. Like, how did this team have the excitement and energy that they had last year in the playoffs, which was electric. The state was so alive.
It was cool to see people wearing Twin stuff, talking about the Twins, just like it is right now, seeing people, you know, wearing Timberwolves stuff, talking about the Wolves. It's great, and it's been missing from our culture.
It has. That's why it feels too good to be true right now.
With the
like
Wolves?
All of our stories here. Now the Wolves, the Vikings drafting
what
a quarterback.
What are we talking about?
The Minnesota United are winning.
Are they?
Twins are hot right now.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen?
Well, you know Arsenal's not winning anything.
I probably won't. I mean, I feel like all this stuff is going to crumble.
It's going to all crumble. So, I mean, I don't know how the sad thing is that for the Wolves, at least, we're already celebrating, which is bad because it's the first round and we should expect more. But, you know, I think we'd be happy. Happy with the loss in this next series. It's crazy.
If we lost in seven,
because we're early.
It would be bittersweet, but I would be
Ant
like,
is early. We're early.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take advantage. Things can happen, but there's always next year, at least for the Wolves.
All right, and then finally finishing up here, Premier League title race, it's down to two teams.
Your squad fell off. Yeah, so, you know, I think that when Klopp made his announcement that he was leaving and he was like, you know, I don't know if I have the energy for this to continue at the same pace. I feel like the team heard, we don't have the energy to continue at this pace. And they kind of gave up on him, and maybe he gave up and is thinking ahead, but it's a really sad way to go out with, like, you know, a loss and then a draw and out of Europa League. And I'm bummed. I'll continue to check in on the games, but it's really down to two teams, which is fine. And you know, fuck City. So therefore, go Arsenal.
So Arsenal has three games left. They're 1 point up on City. But City has four games left. So
they
Arsenal,
have to not... They could win out and win.
If City wins out, they're the champs.
That sucks.
If Arsenal wins out and City wins three and draws one, then it will come down to goal differential. And
which
Arsenal's
you got.
Winning right now, but City, you know, they could
they're
any second
up.
They could come. So here you go.
Jesus.
Arsenal has three games left. They're home against Bournemouth. That's got to be a win.
Yep.
They're at Man United, which
that's okay.
I'm excited about that.
Let's play spoiler, right?
And
let's
then
hope for it.
And then home against Everton to end the season.
Okay.
Who should
another
be
good
safe?
Team.
Who should? No, they're pretty bad, but they're safe from relegation.
Oh. Which isn't good. You would rather them be a little more desperate, right?
No, that's versus Arsenal.
Oh, that was the Arsenal schedule.
Yeah, it's Arsenal.
Ooh.
It's Bournemouth, Man U, and Everton.
Bro.
Okay, Man City's schedule.
Uh-oh.
They have four games left. They're home this weekend against Wolves.
Okay.
They're at Fulham the next weekend. Then they have a midweek game at Tottenham.
I can't believe you're going to be cheering for Tottenham. How's that going to feel?
Great.
What do we think of Tottenham? Winners!
How it will feel? Terrible when Tottenham roll over like dogs.
Yeah, I know.
And then they end the season at home against West Ham. So
okay.
I think
so
their
West
schedule's
Ham's,
a little
yeah.
tougher. They have to play an extra midweek game in there.
Mm-hmm.
All we need is one draw.
Yeah.
One draw, and then Arsenal holds the keys to their own fate to winning the title.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful that it's so tight. So late in the season.
So am I. And it should have been a three-team race, but it's not, and that's that. So.
And then in the Champions League, you have Champions League up going this week.
Yeah, this coming up, right?
You
Tuesday,
have,
Wednesday deal? Or
you have, I think it's Borussia Dortmund versus PSG.
And they're still doing a home and away deal, right?
Yeah, Borussia Dortmund versus PSG.
All right.
That's not that exciting.
Yeah.
And then you have Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid.
That's big.
That's a classic match.
That's a good one, yeah.
So,
and then next week, Arsenal's out.
Yeah, they're out. City,
sorry.
Arsenal, Liverpool, and West Ham all got knocked out in the same day.
Well, Liverpool got knocked out of Europa, which is even more sad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So
crazy.
All of them got knocked out. And
well, then I'm not paying attention to that at all anymore. Yeah. Fuck it.
I'm cheering for Real Madrid PSG. I think that would be kind of fun. It's Mbappe's team versus his next year's team.
You think?
Which would be, yeah. It's,
what do you thought? I thought he's going to Liverpool, you know, to play with some random fucking dude that I never heard of.
Yeah.
He looks like a thumb.
Yeah.
I'm worried about him.
I was worried about that for you.
I was like, look. Tell me how to feel about this, guys. And you're like, I'd be pissed.
I'm
like,
I would be worried about that.
That's what I was thinking.
But yeah. All right. Well, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have on this episode of the Nordys Podcast. Tune into our screencast. So many fun things that we're going to be covering this week. Until then, thank you for hanging out with your best friends here at the Nordys Podcast.